This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
You know, for months, the big question has been how directly involved was Donna Adelson in the plot to kill Dan Markell? Was she just a manipulative mother sitting in the background, or was she the one steering the ship? Now, the testimony that we're about to go through doesn't leave much room for doubt. It's not another rumor or speculation or family drama, little, you know, dabble that you're hearing out there. This is sworn testimony from people who were inside the conspiracy. And it paints Donna not as a bystander, but as the hub of it all. We've got Catherine McBona, the woman who connected the Adelsons to the killers, testifying that every time she and Charlie talked about the job, he'd step out, call his mother, and then come back and push even harder. We've got her saying the murder was supposed to bring Donna relief. We got her describing Charlie flat out admitting, "My mom washed the money like in a washing machine."
I'm so sorry. Okay, I was doing laundry as I was listening to that, and I'm like, that's not what money laundering is. It's not literal money laundering.
This is literal. The genius of Donna Adelson right here in full effect. So if you're thinking like there's this really super deep mastermind behind stuff, it's not.
No.
It's a flailing old woman who doesn't have a clue as to how anything works. And that's why this whole thing was as sloppy as it was. That's why she is where she is today. And that's why every single member of the family is slowly being dismantled and put into cages. There's also the forensic accountant showing that Donna herself signed every single hush money paycheck, 44 of them, by the way, and then abruptly stopped when the FBI showed up at the door. This is the financial trail, the emotional motive, and the behind-the-scenes influence all pointing in one direction. Donna Adelson wasn't in the shadows. She was in the driver's seat. There's a lot that we're going to unpack. We already saw the testimony of two of her kids, of Wendy and Robert. And now the trail gets even more stark with who's coming to talk. And we're going to start talking about money. You know, the stuff that influenced people to go and take the life of Dan Markell. You know, when you hear that Charlie kept stepping out of the room to call his mother in the middle of planning a murder, what do you think's going on there? Do you think he's just checking in like, hey, are you making chili tonight, Mom? What do you think those conversations are like, Stacey?
Hey, mama's boy. Grow a set of balls. Is the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. You know, ladies, you don't want to date a guy like this. I'm just telling you, nothing good is going to come of it. A guy has to love his mother, but this is the other extreme. He can't do anything without his mother's approval. Well, including being involved in this little organization, whatever the hell this was. Mm-hmm. But it's just gross. And it just makes of a man who doesn't have a spine. He should have been able to stand up to Mom and said, I'm not doing this. But he couldn't. He didn't.
But from all the testimony, like, he is the ladies' man. He's got all these girlfriends and stuff, right?
You know, there was another girlfriend that hit the stand today. And I'm like, he's got a type.
he does have a type. Absolutely. But I'm sure those ladies.
But he's got a type.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing: these women probably got involved and went, "Oh, there are so many red flags here that it looks like they're, you know, planting trees with flags. It's just ridiculous." No, this is not a good situation. Don't care how much money he has, how cute he is, doesn't matter. Too many red flags.
Wonder how much he and Mom talk behind bars now. You know, with the fact that it seems, you know, Robert and Wendy aren't really in communication. I wonder if those two are tight or if that's completely strained as well, considering Charlie is trying for an appeal and they're framing this whole trial as 100% he did it. They're not backing out on that and saying, look, he was wrongly convicted. It's like, That's
you did it, but I mean, kind of like OJ, if I did it, no, you did it. You did it, friend.
It feels like mom doesn't really, I wonder who's, if there's something behind the scenes here going, look, you're going to say you did it and it's going to help mom. Or I wonder, or if everybody is just out for themselves at this point, because it kind of feels like maybe that's what's going on.
Survival of the fittest in this family.
Yeah, it's like they're eating themselves now. Mm-hmm. It's let's take a look at one of the clips from court. Charlie in this one. Well, it's a discussion about Charlie stepping out to talk to Donna during planning. This is one of this is his ex-girlfriend. This is Catherine McBona talking about this.
Sometimes he would get on the phone. He'd kind of look at me weird and then just step out of the room and discuss whatever he needed to discuss.
Okay. She's not giving information about what was discussed outside of the
room. Under the rule, she is talking about what took place, not the substance of the conversation itself. You may continue.
All right. So you would step out, have a conversation with his mother, and then come back?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then you would resume the conversation about...
Yeah, he would just kind of go off again, saying that this needed to be taken care of and what his family was going through.
All right. How many times did this particular situation happen where you were discussing what would eventually become the murder and his mother was interjected in that way that you just described?
How many times did I think he stepped out and speak to him? A number of times.
More than twice?
Yes, ma'am.
More than five times?
Yes, ma'am.
So this was like a regular part of the way this worked whenever this conversation came up?
Yes, ma'am.
He would consult his mother and come back and speak to you?
Objection. Yes, ma'am.
Why was there an objection to that? I mean...
What are you going to do? You got to do something.
I guess. Like, oh, crap.
Objection.
There goes my case.
I mean... That's Donna Adelson being looped in live while her son was setting up a murder, allegedly. An active consultation. It's like buying a used... Let me go back to the dealer.
Talk to the manager.
Let me go talk to the manager and see what they say. Maybe we can get you down a little bit. I mean, obviously, they ended up working it into a multi-payment layaway system. Which literally, it's what they did. Which... I find to be rather interesting that it's like, we're going to keep paying you over all this time, not just one big lump sum. Let's just keep that line going. So when they come and figure out what the hell's going on, there's constant payments to someone who doesn't work for our dental practice.
I wonder what the accountants have to say at the end of the year when they saw all this, because that's coming, right?
That's coming. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yes. I forgot about that. Yeah, they did. They did. Lots of details there about other people seeing what they were up to.
Yeah.
They weren't very covert about this.
No, I was just talking to Charlie. We were talking about the newest sub at Subway. They have fresh chicken now.
Did you know that they toast them?
It's not that weird chicken little thing that they said was chicken before. Now it's toasted. Who would have known? I was just so excited. Catherine also testified about how Charlie sold the idea of murder. He told her the whole family was going through it because of Dan. Oh, it's because Dan's dead. The family's going. So I guess, you know, they're going through it because Dan's dead. So stressed that someone was literally throwing up at night. She admits she understood this as killing Dan would bring relief to the parents, Donna and Harvey. Here's what she had to say on the stand.
Well, through the course, he was just mentioning that his parents were going through it, that his sister was going through it, that he basically painted a bad picture of Mr. Markell. And since he knew that I was going through stuff with Sigfredo, it was kind of, I was like sympathizing with his sister because I know how it feels to go through.
Okay, so you knew that his sister was having a terrible time with her ex.
Yes, ma'am.
And you had things going on with Garcia that felt relatable.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what does it mean that his parents are going through it?
He just said that they couldn't sleep, that at some point, I think somebody was throwing up. I don't know if it was his mom or his dad, and that it was just becoming a big problem to them.
Okay. And the big problem was Dan Markell.
Yes, ma'am.
Not hard to so basically she trauma bonds with him over everything that's going on because she's like, well, I was going through this with Sigfredo, so I related it. So that you got that bond. That's how this all like, oh, I can help you here. And then that screwed up relationship and that screwed up bond then leads to Charlie and his unhealthy enmeshed relationship with Donna, turning into what it does where, okay, you got to take care of mom. She's feeling sick. She's feeling ill to her stomach that these grandchildren are going to be raised by their father, heaven forbid, and their mother who's living up there just fine. But because Donna can't have her way, that really, I think, pointed it out very well. It was not about the well-being of the kids. It wasn't about Wendy. It was about Donna being sick because she couldn't have her way. That's how she was acting. She wasn't sick. She was. This is this sickness, this illness, this feeling horrible was not happening after Dan died. This is before he died. The only way to quell that in Donna seemed to be killing Dan Markell. That was the solution.
What a remedy. It's like it was a vaccine for her.
Yeah.
Which just prevents suffering.
I don't know how they're going to argue. I mean, I'm sure what will be argued or maybe what was argued. I didn't get a chance to see Cross on any of this, but Donna's doppelganger. I'm just going to call her attorney, Donna Doppelganger, going forward. Nice. I'm sure it was, well, she's a convict. So what can you believe what she has to say? You know?
Yeah.
Well, how can you believe anything Donna has to say either? I mean, she's not the brightest bulb in the world, so much so that she thinks laundering money actually means washing money. Here's one of the most concrete links. Kate says it when she got her cut of the murder money, the cash was damp. It was molding and literally stapled together. Who staples money together and who washes it? This is something that, I mean, again, this was 11 years ago, but it does make me wonder. I mean, if this had like happened last week or last year or something, and she was washing money, I think I'd be going, I think there's a cognitive decline happening here. But this was Donna 11 years ago. And not to say that a cognitive decline couldn't have started back then, but I just think it was stupidity. When she asked Charlie why the money was damp and molding and stapled together, the answer, my mom washed the money. Check this out.
At that moment, I did it when I opened it, but a couple of days after the fact, it was wet and starting to molt.
The money itself was damp to the touch.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And did you ever mention that fact to Charlie Ailson?
I'm pretty sure I contacted him and told him, why is the money wet?
What do you mean pretty sure? You didn't?
That I did.
Okay. And when you contacted him and said the money's wet, or you just mentioned to him the money's wet, did he have a response?
Yes, ma'am. Tell me that his mom washed the money.
But she physically washed the money.
Yes, ma'am.
So here's the thing. She actively was allegedly taking part in money laundering.
Yes.
In the most literal sense possible.
In the most literal sense possible.
I don't know what to do with that information.
She used, was it Tide? Did she use Oxy on that? I mean, money is one of the, I think, dirtiest substances or like objects out there because it gets handled so much.
And there's drugs and feces on them. From what I remember back in biology class, we would take swabs and put the swabs in a Petri dish or swab them. And the stuff you could grow off of money was just phenomenal.
God.
So she's not, remember that the next time you pay somebody and then, you know, finger licking good, you better wash your hands at some point. But This is just stupidity.
Literally washed the money. I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't know how you get beyond that one. What other reason, Donna, do you have that you were putting cash in a washing machine and literally washing it?
Do you put it in like a lingerie bag so it's not like, you know, getting in all the crevices and things? I don't know how you wash money. I've never laundered money. No.
Do you just throw it all? Then do you throw it in the dryer? I mean, to dry it when it's done? Well,
apparently she didn't do that. I mean, it is made out of a type of fabric, so I guess it would make sense to dry it, but
would it not rip? Would it not, when it gets wet, I would think it would.
Maybe she put it on the delicate cycle.
I'm wondering if they did delicate. And did they use color catch, like one of those color guards, you know, in there, or scent beads?
You put a softener in. I don't know if they had scent beads 11 years ago. Did they?
Scent beads? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably
not. I feel
like
those are fairly new.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a great scent bead scent. Cash.
Money. You got your money right here, baby.
You're walking around smelling like dirty money. Well, when the money laundering wasn't, you know, when she realized that that was maybe odd, I wonder how that, I'd love to be the fly in the wall for that conversation with Charlie and mom of like, yeah. I washed the money.
Mom, that's not how this works.
Donna had a better solution. Checks with her name on it. Kate admitted she did no work for the Adelson Institute. I love that name, too, for the dental practice, the Adelson Institute. Does that not sound like the most prestige? Like the, it's supposed to sound prestigious. It's a dental practice. Does it sound like the most pretentious name for a dental practice?
Doesn't surprise me a bit.
I don't think I would go to the Adelson Institute. I'd be feeling like, I don't know. I'm going.
They are not going to use Novocaine at the Adelson Institute. I can tell you that because that's what that sounds like from the name.
The Adelson Institute for Final Dental Arts. She didn't do any work. She got 44 paychecks. And who signed every single one of them from the Adelson Institute? You guessed it. Donna Adelson. Here she is on that.
Who signed your paychecks from the Adelson Institute?
Donna Adelson.
How many paychecks did you receive?
I can't recall.
Does 44 sound right?
I can't recall.
If we assume 44, how many of them were signed by Donna Adelson?
All of them.
How many were signed by Charlie Adelson?
None.
Whoops.
So that makes Donna the one authorizing the hush money to a co-conspirator month after month for nearly 2 years. How does the consistency of Donna's signature across 44 checks hit a jury, you think?
Not well.
It's also good to note that, again, it wasn't just routine payroll. She never worked a day for them. In fact, I mean, she even said the checks kept coming when she got a boob job. Just as more evidence of I did this and I still kept getting paid and I obviously couldn't have been doing any work for them.
Wow.
She's spending the rest of her life in prison because of her unfortunate interactions with Charlie Adelson. There was another person who took the stand, Mary Hull, forensic accounting.
There you go. There it is.
When it comes to this, you know, I don't know how far they had to dig. Sometimes forensic accountants really need to go in deep to figure out how money was moved this way and that way. But this looks like it was a pretty surface job. Donna did sign all 44 checks, controlled payroll, and started payments right after the murder. Here's what that forensic accountant Mary had to say today on the stand.
Were all of these checks deposited by Catherine McBanois into her account?
They were.
And who were each and every one of these checks?
Donna Adelson was signing the checks.
Okay, are these examples of three of the checks in the exhibit?
It is.
Okay, but she signs all 44?
She does.
And you did say that she did have signing authority for the business during those years?
Yes.
In addition to signing these checks for Meg Vanwan, did Donna Adelson also sign all the other checks to the Adelson Institute employees, their front desk people, their hygienists, the dentists, yes. All of the people who work there?
Yes.
Was she the person who did payroll every month?
That's correct.
And looking back at the summary, you mentioned that Harvey Adelson was listed as manager again in October 2nd of 2015. Looking at this chart here, would that be just between number 20, I'm sorry, just between number 26 and 27 there? At that point, he would become manager again?
Yes.
Okay, but all throughout the rest of the time he worked there?
Yes.
Okay, so about 3/4 of the second chart we see, Harvey Adelson was manager during that time.
That's right.
For all those checks that were written.
That's correct.
And for both of those charts, Donna Adelson had signed authority.
Yes.
Who else had signing authority at Adelson Institute when these 44 checks were written?
There would have been Charlie and Harvey and her.
When you reviewed the phone records in this case, did Donna Adelson manage more than just the money at Adelson Institute? Did she also manage a lot of personal details of Charlie Adelson's life?
Yes.
Would she often book his travel as far as his plane trips, his hotels, whenever he wanted to take a trip?
Yes.
Would she remind him regularly to pay this bill on time, pay that bill on time, transfer this amount of money to this account? She helped him with all of his money?
Yes.
Did she kind of run his life, so to speak, as far as helping him keep up with the details of all of his day-to-day needs?
Yes.
When was the first check issued to Catherine McBanwell here, looking at the summary?
The first check that shows up in her account is October 8, 2014.
Okay, what was the date on the check, meaning the date that you're assuming that so that's the check, that's the date that it's written?
Right. So the date that was on the check was September 17th, 2014.
Okay, was that almost 2 months to the day from the murder of Dan Markell?
It was.
Was that, I guess, about 3 months after she asked to be employed by Adelson Institute?
Yes.
Pretty clear timeline here. Dan Markell killed in July. Within 2 months, Donna is signing fake payroll checks to the woman who helped set it all up. Nothing to see here.
Nope.
Nothing weird. Personally signing them. It was so this wasn't even just the, you know, here's the rubber stamp, put right. your signature on it. It's you're looking at these checks.
She grabbed a Bic pen and went for it.
I don't know how you argue this other than she was extremely irresponsible with their finances. And well, she just signed whatever she came, whatever they said, she signed.
No, this isn't equivalent to, oh, how'd you get the black eye? I fell down the stairs and we all know what really happened. Mm-hmm. This was out in the open.
Yeah.
She was just doing this. There's nothing clouded about this. It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as soon as the jury gets this, we might as well just stay perched at our desks.
I'm very interested to see what type of defense she's going to raise. I'm wondering if this is going to be one of those trials where there is no defense raised, where it's just, we're going to
rest, Your Honor.
We're going to rest. We got nothing here.
Yeah.
That happened in several trials that I was very surprised by. I mean, that happened in Taryn Reed.
Yeah, it did.
It happened.
There was one other.
Diddy, it happened as well. It worked for Diddy.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
It worked for Karen.
I don't think it's going to work here.
I don't think it's going to have the same effect.
No, I don't either. A little bit different climate.
A little more damning here to rest. But the arrogance, though, I could see that making Donna say, yeah, we're going to rest. I think we did it good. I think we did a good job, doppelganger Donna. I think we'll sleep well tonight on our 0.5-inch ERCOT in the in the jailhouse. Here's another interesting piece, and this is another piece of testimony that just, again, points to Donna in all of this. The successing, all of this. She's going to testify here about Katie's paychecks and when they stopped. They stopped April 19th of 2016. The very day the FBI bump went down when undercover agents confronted Donna. What a coincidence. Let's take a look.
Was there evidence of a check later than those in sequence that was actually posted to the bank account before the bump on April 19th of 2016?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the checks here to Harvey Olson on April 4th?
That's correct.
And that would have been before the bump?
It would.
But after in sequence of McBanlow's checks?
Yes.
So is it possible, given the sequence, that Donna Adelson stopped writing McBanlow checks after she was approached by the agent during the bump?
It appears that way.
Could you have any more? It's like Brian Koberger turning off his phone as he goes and murders four college kids.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we better turn off the hush money quickly. That might not look good. Oh, we're already 44 checks in? That's her response to the FBI pressure there. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to explain any of this away. I think I've run out of every possible, like, well, here's a road. There's a road. I don't know what roads are left.
Can you imagine being Donna Doppelganger? Can you imagine being Donna Doppelganger and leaving the courtroom every day going, oh my God.
Well, she's still going to get her money. Right.
No, but.
And Donna Doppelganger wasn't even a defense attorney. She was a judge who was kind of forced to step down, too. I got to do a whole story on that one. I didn't do it yet. I was working on it the other day, and then I don't know. I got distracted.
There's reports that she faked having cancer to get, people to feel sorry for her.
The judge?
Yes.
Jesus.
Donna Doppelganger.
Unconfirmed report. Oh my God. Wow. That's fucked up allegations. So
wow.
I'm going to say it kind of feels like two peas in a pod over there.
Maybe that's why she was the perfect attorney for her, because they could relate. They probably sat there and went, in different circumstances, we could have been best friends and go out for coffee.
It's probably the only friend Donna has left.
Well, yeah.
And Donna is someone who, if given the opportunity, I think if you had a younger Donna, she would have tried to represent herself.
Well, she's along the same lines as Lori Vallow.
And that's why I think she picked this woman. There's that undeniable resemblance. I'm sure Donna doesn't see it at all.
No.
And the personality, all of it. I mean, it's, yeah. Well, I got to do a piece on the judge or on the defense attorney, because that's messed up. I'm really curious more about what happened there. Why she was, judges normally aren't forced to resign. They
no
or step down.
They all retire.
Yeah. And that was like 11 years ago.
Come out of retirement for this one case. I mean, how does this work?
I think so. I think it was like, kidding. Oh, I can help you, Donna. I gotcha. I don't know. I don't know the sure answer to that question, but I think so. Again, I got to do a little research on that, so I don't want to say anything that's wrong. But that's just a whole interesting case study in itself. The two of them.
You wonder if she took it just to be in the spotlight, in the limelight.
Yeah, that would be total Donna Doppelganger, wouldn't it?
Very much so. Yeah.
Like I get the spotlight. I look at me and completely oblivious to how she's coming across to everyone talking about the Skypes. I don't know if you know about this fangled thing that people talk to on the internets. Like, this is your opening arguments. How dumb you are. How out of touch you are with modern society for the last 25 years. That's not a good hand to come out of the deck swinging with. That's just not, yeah. So there's Donna. And That's the damning Donna report of the day. Let us know in the comments section what your thoughts are. Is there any way out for Donna? Is Donna innocent? I've yet to really see a whole lot of pro-Donna folks. Has anyone seen a pro-Adelson person anywhere? I don't know that they exist.
They're not outside the courtroom protesting. There's no signs. There's no bullhorns. There's no playing whatever games they were playing outside the courthouse. None of that's going on for her.
At the end of the day, I kind of feel bad for Charlie and all of the kids, really, because there is, I mean, it was manipulation. And with this type of manipulation and with this type of grooming, basically, of what she did to her kids. I mean, everybody parents their kids, but parenting is basically a version of grooming. You're trying to do it in a healthy way so they go and be healthy young adults. But the way she raised her kids or groomed her kids, I mean, it was totally insane and abuse. And these kids, they didn't have a chance when they got out to be adults. I mean, the fact that Charlie's still sitting there and mommy's planning all of the travel, he's such a man child. I mean, you're an adult, you're running a dental practice, and mommy is sitting there taking care of all your bills because you don't know how to fill it out for the water company and the electric company. And when you need to go and get a Priceline hotel, mommy's got you there too. I mean, what a pathetic human being. My God.
I nailed it earlier when I said the man didn't have a spine. It's one thing to include your family in the family business, maybe to give them a little financial push. But it sounds like she was so intertwined in him that it wasn't just a double helix like DNA. She was literally attached to him.
He didn't have a spine, but here's why he didn't have it. Because for the previous 30 some years of his life since birth, she was sitting there, you know, with a surgical tool ripping out that spine year by year. And so when he finally became an adult and he's supposed to go fly, guess what? He can't do shit.
He can't fly.
I'm here for you, honey. I got your back. And she's propping him up, propping Wendy up over here. It's like a puppet master. She's got him propped up here. Wendy's over here. The other kid got far away. Thank God. Mm-hmm. And she's just like controlling what they're saying. Say this to your husband. Do this for your sister. Act like this. And then when shit hits the fan and it all goes away, who's left to bear the blame? Oh, it was just Donna. I was just. Monster bitch.
Yep.
Your thoughts in the comment section, wherever you are downloading podcast or on the YouTube, and wherever you're downloading podcasts, press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case. All the testimony from everybody that was out there today, it's on our YouTube channel. It's on our podcast feed. So go ahead and binge away on this one. It's a real fascinating one to get into. This is one that I'm not finding boring at all. So go check that out. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacey, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.